Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Hello and good morning, friends and faithful listeners, and welcome to the Bible Explained podcast on this lovely Monday morning. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. And I hope you're ready to read some scripture with me and start out your week the right way, reading scripture. We're going to be finishing up 1 Samuel chapter 20 today. So let's read 1 Samuel 20, 35 through 42. Grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea, and also the version of scripture that you prefer. But I'll be reading out of WEB this morning. In the morning, Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little boy with him. He said to his boy, "Run, find now the arrows which I shoot." As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the boy had come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the boy and said, "Isn't the arrow beyond you?" Jonathan cried after the boy, "Go fast, hurry, don't delay." Jonathan's boy gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the boy didn't know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and said to him, "Go and carry them into the city." As soon as the boy was gone, David arose out of the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself 3 times. They kissed one another and wept with one another, and David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, because we have both sworn in Yahweh's name, saying, 'Yahweh is between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.'" He arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So to do a quick recap of everything that's happening here, Jonathan and David are best friends, okay? They have been best friends for quite a while now, basically since David went and killed Goliath. However, King Saul, Jonathan's dad, hated David. He was super jealous of David because everybody loved David. And David, of course, was married to Saul's daughter, Michal. So Saul was trying to kill David out of complete and total jealousy of David, and also fear of David, because David was very powerful. And Saul also knew that Yahweh was on David's side. So all of this was making Saul very anxious and very jealous of David, because Yahweh had left Saul. And Saul, I think, was beginning to realize that. And also, Saul knew that eventually somebody was going to take over the throne who was not part of his family. And I think Saul knew that David was going to be the next king of Israel, and he did not want that. So he's trying to kill David. And David went to Jonathan, who was his best friend and also Saul's son. And he said to Jonathan, he's like, "Why is your dad trying to kill me? And also, are you on your dad's side? Because you've been acting pretty suspicious, Jonathan." And Jonathan's like, "I didn't know anything about this, that my dad wanted to kill you. Last I knew, my dad had told me he wasn't going to kill you. So I'm not sure that you have the facts straight, David. I think that you're paranoid. My dad doesn't actually want to kill you." And David's like, "No, Jonathan, you don't understand. Saul certainly wants to kill me, and he's probably going to try to kill me at the new moon festival coming up. So please let me not be at that festival." Because since David was a high-ranking official at Israel, he was expected to be at this new moon festival, sitting at the table with Saul. Not to mention, he was also Saul's son-in-law, so he would have been at the table. He would have been expected to be there. And so David's like, "Please don't make me go, Jonathan. I know that you have more power than me, being the true son of Saul. So I'm asking you to let me not be there and let me hide out in this field." So Jonathan agrees, and they make a promise to each other that they're going to be lifelong friends, even if David becomes the king. Jonathan's like, "If you become the king, I will still be your best friend." So after all of this happens, Jonathan tries to feel out Saul at the new moon festival, because Saul is like, "Where's David? He's not here." And Jonathan's like, "Well, he went back home to Bethlehem." So he makes this excuse for David. And whether or not this excuse was true, I do not know. It could have been true. It could have been false. David could have gone home to Bethlehem to see his dad and say goodbye or whatever, and then come back and then hidden in the field. We don't really know if the excuse was true or not. But Jonathan makes this excuse to Saul to try to save David's life. And Saul was infuriated at Jonathan. He's like, you let him go back to Bethlehem without telling me? Why would you do that? And he actually tries to kill Jonathan right then and there. And Jonathan is infuriated. He probably slams his hands down on the table. He gets up. He doesn't eat that night. And he cries for David and for how his father is treating David, who is completely innocent of everything. So now in what we read today, Jonathan is communicating with David because he knows that David's life is in danger. Saul is ready and willing to kill him, because if Saul was trying to kill Jonathan, his own son, just for siding with David, then certainly Saul was going to kill David. And I think Jonathan was beginning to realize this. His rose-colored glasses were off. He has seen his father's true colors. So he goes to the field where David is hiding out. And he has this secret message that he gave to David ahead of time to communicate with David secretly. And the secret message was shooting arrows. So here's what it says. In the morning, Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, meaning David was nearby. Jonathan knew that David was camping nearby, but this little boy, this servant boy that was with Jonathan, didn't know anything about this. Jonathan goes out and he says to his boy, run and find the arrows which I shoot. So Jonathan starts shooting arrows, pretending as if he's hunting or trying to hit a mark or something like that. And he shoots three arrows and he has his little boy, his servant boy, go and fetch the arrows. So it says that when the boy came to the place of where the arrow was shot, Jonathan cried to the boy, isn't the arrow beyond you? Like this innocent question, like, little boy, go further. Isn't the arrow further than where you're at? And that was a secret message to David. And David, of course, was listening to all of this, waiting for the message. And if Jonathan said the words, is the arrow beyond you? David would then know that his life was in danger. And so Jonathan does the secret code and says, the arrow is beyond you, little boy. So the boy grabs all the arrows and comes back to Jonathan. And then it says, the boy didn't know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew about this matter. And the reason this was so secretive was because Jonathan could not be seen protecting David, because the night before, Saul tried to kill Jonathan just for siding with David. If Saul knew that Jonathan was helping David out, he was certainly going to try to kill Jonathan, without a doubt. And I think Jonathan knew this. So all of this had to be done very secretly. Jonathan sends the boy away. He gives his weapon to the boy, the bow and arrow. And he's like, okay, go into the city and put my arrows away. Probably this little boy is like, what is happening right now? Like the boy is probably thinking like, this is super weird. But he listens, of course, to Jonathan and he goes into the city. So now Jonathan is alone, supposedly, in the field. However, David is there too. So David comes out of his hiding place and it says he's crying and he bows to the ground three separate times. There's another time we see somebody bowing three separate times. That was back in the book of Genesis when Jacob was about to meet his brother Esau. And if you remember the history between Jacob and Esau, it was very tense. Esau was trying to kill Jacob. Jacob knew this. And so after hiding for many years, he comes back and bows himself low to the ground in front of his brother several times. And of course, Esau then doesn't kill Jacob. But the point of bowing several times was to show humility, like deep and utter humility, as if you are so below the person you are bowing to. And this is how David treated Jonathan. David didn't treat Jonathan as if they were best friends. David treated Jonathan with honor, as if Jonathan were the son of the king. So you can even see how David showed honor to Jonathan, because David believed and knew that God had put Saul in charge. So David was showing humility in front of Jonathan. He never treated Jonathan as if Jonathan were just his best bro. In fact, all through 1 Samuel 20, you can see David treating himself as if he is Jonathan's servant. In fact, David called himself Jonathan's servant several times in this chapter. And now we see him bowing low to the ground. It says that David bowed low to the ground, and then they kissed one another and wept with one another, and David wept the most. This verse reminds me of a verse we actually read rather recently in the book of Acts. So if you go to Acts chapter 20, verses 36 through 38, there's almost the exact same story. But this time it's with the Apostle Paul and the elders in the church of Ephesus. So Paul was saying goodbye to the elders of the church of Ephesus because he knew that he was not going to see them again, that Paul was going to be in chains for Jesus. So Paul was speaking to the elders, and when he was about to leave, the elders bowed down with Paul and then embraced him and were kissing him. So here's what it says in verses 36 through 38 of Acts 20. When Paul had spoken these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. They all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word which he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. Then they accompanied him to the ship. This is almost the exact same story in the book of Acts chapter 20 that we see in 1 Samuel 20. And the reason I bring this up is because a lot of people like to twist David and Jonathan's friendship as if it were romantic. And they especially point to this portion where they're like, David and Jonathan were kissing each other. But here's the thing. If the kisses between David and Jonathan here were romantic, then the kisses between Paul and the Ephesian elders would also have to be romantic. Because it's the same exact story. Somebody is saying goodbye. They're not going to see each other anymore. In America, kisses are often associated with romance. But around the world, that is not actually the case. Many places around the world kiss each other when you say goodbye or when you see somebody for the first time in a while, you give each other kisses on the cheeks. I know some people from the Netherlands, and whenever I see them, they kiss me on the cheek 3 times. It's a common way to say hello, from my understanding, in the Netherlands. And in America, we've got this like bubble around us that kissing is basically never not romantic. But like I said, that doesn't mean that's the case around the world. And that certainly doesn't mean that that's the case thousands of years ago when this story was written. So it's very important when you read the Bible not to put a Western modern spin on the story, because this was a different culture. And also this was thousands of years ago. So it's important not to do that. This was a common way to say goodbye, to show sorrow for somebody leaving. So they wept with one another, and David wept the most is what it says. And obviously David was going to weep the most because David had more to lose. Like Jonathan was just losing David, his best friend, but David was losing his home. He was losing his position. He was losing his wife. He was losing his best friend. And he was losing living in the palace with Saul and being the son-in-law to the king. David was losing everything. So of course David was going to weep the most here. He was distraught. He's going to have to live in Israel as a fugitive for many years after this because Saul hates him. And sometimes, you know, we look at stories like this and we think that, you know, these people had it all together, that they were so holy and they didn't sin and they didn't struggle. But these people were people. David was a person just like you and I, and he struggled with the same exact emotions and feelings that you and I struggle with. And that's very clear in the Psalms. Like if you read the Psalms of David, he struggled in every single way that you can possibly imagine. And God himself was putting David through this trial. And not just putting David through this trial for a few months or even for a couple years. This was going to be the next 15 years of David's life, living as a fugitive from place to place to place. I can imagine that David was wondering what God was doing, was struggling with his faith at times. But God was doing all of this for a very specific reason: to grow David closer to him. God often puts us through stuff that we just don't want to go through, that just seems unbearable and miserable to us. God was stripping David of everything here. And yes, it was God doing it. Because if you go up to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 22, just a few verses before this, here's what Jonathan says to David when they're first like planning all of this out. He says, "If I say to the boy, 'Behold, the arrows are beyond you,' then go your way, for Yahweh has sent you away." Even Jonathan knew that Yahweh was the one sending David away for a very specific reason. And the reason was so that David would learn to trust God in everything. And also so that David would travel around the countryside, see how people live, and learn to be a warrior, because David's about to go to war also with other countries and meet other kings. So even though it seems like a terrible thing that David has to go through at this time, being stripped of his family and of his title and being essentially a criminal in Israel, God will be using it for David's good. Similarly to the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, where Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt by his own brothers. But God used Joseph to become one of the highest ranking officials in Egypt. In the end, Joseph ended up saving everybody from this great famine. So God sometimes puts us through terrible trials that we just don't want to go through. But he does it to grow us, and he also does it to help us and other people in the future. But he always blesses us in the end if we do not give up. And if we keep going and keep trusting God through the trial. Faithful listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget that it is not too late for you to get your Alive Coloring Devotionals, the devotionals that I wrote for you guys and illustrated for you guys to do specifically during Passion Week, which is this week. There's 8 days of content and 8 coloring pictures for you guys. And of course, there's a adult version and a child's version. The adult version has more advanced pictures and more advanced devotionals. And then the children's version has simpler pictures and devotionals and also games and other things for the kiddos to do with their parents. So check those out. Those are linked in the description of this episode under books. You will see that. Guys, before I let you go, I do want to say thank you to everybody who reviews the podcast on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. And I had somebody recently on Spotify give a little review or a comment of the podcast, and I appreciated this. This is from Lito. Lito says, "I enjoyed the puns and I love when you digress. I've been learning a lot from these podcasts. Thank you." Well, I'm very glad somebody enjoys when I digress. But thank you for saying that, because, digressing is part of my personality, and I try to rein that back a lot for the sake of you guys listening, but sometimes it just comes out, so I appreciate that somebody appreciates it. Faithful listeners, I will see you all in the next episode. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your Monday. Happy listening, and God bless.